Take your Bible and turn to Job chapter number 6. Job chapter 6. The title of the sermon this morning is this: Oh, that I might have my request. Oh, that I might have my request. Job chapter 6. Once you find Job 6, find verse number 1, and then stand with me if you will, please. Job chapter 6, starting with verse number 1. Job chapter 6, starting with verse number 1, and I'm going to read out loud, and I'll read all the way down through verse number 8. The Bible says this: But Job answered and said, Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together, for now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison thereof drinketh up my spirit, the terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt, or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. And verse number 8 is the verse from which we will preach today. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. The thing that I long for. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Somehow, Lord, give me the attention of those that are not really interested. Because there are some who are not here to let you make a statement to them. They're here to make a statement to others. Father, we're here to let you speak to us. So, Holy Ghost of God, reach down and do something supernatural in this place. If for some reason there's someone that's disinterested, I pray that they would not hinder the rest. But Father, may you work deep in someone's heart and life today. Make an eternal difference, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. The human race has many desires. The human race has many longings. We hunger for certain things. Job said here, he said, Oh, that I might have my request. He said, I would like to have that that I long for. You know, one of the greatest appetites that a man can have is the appetite or a desire for water. Boy, a thirsty man can want a drink of water in a very, very deep and passionate way. David in the Bible longed for a drink of water. In 2 Samuel 23:15, it says, And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. You know, we long, and he longed for water. He longed for it spiritually. He longed for it physically. We all have longings. There are things that we want. We long for food. I have been trying so hard to get my appetite under control. It's just not making it easy on me. My appetite tends to be my enemy. And Mrs. Owens and I, we went after Christmas. We said, you know, we're going to buckle down and we're really going to do this right. And we had to give up everything that Santa gave us in our stocking because it was all full of sugar and everything. You just got coal in your stocking, and that's why you don't understand. But I tell you what, the other night I told my wife, it was late. I said, I'm going to the grocery store. She said, What are you going to get? I said, I'm having ice cream, I'm having chocolate syrup on it, and I'm having peanuts. She said, Honey, it's late. I said, They're open. And so I did. I went and I got what I had to have it. I had to have it. It's like been years and years since I'd had ice cream. Weeks. And so, I got that ice cream, and I filled my bowl. Might as well not even taken it out of the tub. And then she got this little dainty, stupid little bowl, and she was measuring it out and getting the calories. I said, Don't talk to me right now. You go sit somewhere and eat your puny little anemic bowl of ice cream. I'm having ice cream. Nothing like that sweet ice cream. Now, I like the peanuts because of the salt and the chocolate syrup. That's just there for good measure. And so, I wanted it. I wanted it bad, and I thought, boy, that'll satisfy me. I ate my ice cream, and a little later on, I had to have something else. but it didn't seem to satisfy. Man, spiritually, is a lot like man is physically. We have spiritual longings. We have spiritual appetites. Like a man thirsty in the desert, man gets thirsty in the desert of this world. And you might not realize it, but everybody in here, you have both physical appetites and you have a spiritual appetite. You might not call your spiritual appetite by its name, the spiritual appetite, but you've got it. Man has an intense hunger. If someone goes through a famine and they want to eat, and someone goes through the desert and they want to drink, and that happens to us spiritually as well. Have you ever been hungry for a certain food? So you try a piece of candy, but that doesn't satisfy the longing. So you try a cookie, and that doesn't satisfy the longing. And you try something else, and that doesn't satisfy the longing. And you're just looking for something that would truly meet that need. Now, man is like that spiritually as well. We long for things spiritually like we long for things physically. By nature, God has placed in us a desire for something spiritual. We all have a desire for something spiritual within us. We so often will try things that we probably should not try and most certainly should not try. And we do those things because we're looking for something to fulfill our spiritual appetite, just like we do our physical appetite. You snack on this and then you snack on that and you snack on some of this and you're trying to figure it out. And in life, if we're not careful, our spiritual appetite, it gets all conjured up. And before long, you're trying a little of this and a little of that and it's not meeting the need. But everybody has a spiritual appetite. Someone here today, I don't know who. Maybe someone under the sound of my voice. You went out and got drunk last night, longing for joy. Now, you didn't find that for which you were longing because your longing was not satisfied. You say, why? Because real joy is in the Lord. But you look for it, and folks, I'm not mad at anybody, and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but there are all sorts of people all over the world that went to look for joy last night, and they did not find it. Why? You won't find real joy apart from the Lord. Someone went out and got high last night, longing for peace. They wanted peace. They didn't find that for which they longed. Their longing was not satisfied. Why? Because real peace is in the Lord. Someone went out and committed immorality last night, slept with somebody that they're not married to. Man, what were they looking for? They wanted love. They wanted fellowship. But that they didn't find that which they truly longed for. Their longing was not satisfied. You say, why? Because true love and fellowship is in the Lord and true spiritual relationships. That's where the satisfaction is found. Someone made money the biggest issue of their life this week. That big issue of life. Why? Because they long for security and they long for possessions to bring them confidence in life. But you know what? They didn't find what they were longing for. Their longing was not satisfied. You say, why? Because true security is in the Lord. Jesus is the possession that they seek. Only having Him will satisfy their appetites. Hey, young person experimenting in dangerous sinful behavior because you're looking for something. What you're truly looking for is a relationship with the Creator of the universe. That's really what you're looking for. Now, I've been to the cupboards and I searched through them and I've opened every drawer and every side of the refrigerator thinking I've got to find what's going to satisfy me. And I'd taste some of this and taste some of that and taste some of this and taste some of that. And when that appetite was not satisfied, I just kept moving from item to item trying to figure it out. I wonder how many people in our society, and even some Christians, you're hungry for something spiritually, and you're going from item to item trying to figure out, well, what's going to give me what I need? Let me tell you, the one thing that will give you everything you need is Jesus Christ, and getting yourself aligned with the God of the universe and living your life His way. That will bring you the satisfaction that you're truly looking for. Someone here this morning, you have it all. But you've not found what you're looking for. You're still not satisfied. You say, what is it? You need God. Psalm 84:2, the psalmist said, My soul longeth for some things. That soul, what is that? That's way down deep inside of me. I have needs, and I'd like to have my needs met. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse number 22, it says this, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." Now, why? Why would God say that when we live wickedly, that there's no peace available to us? Because what they seek won't be found in the world. What they're looking for won't be found in their wickedness. Why? Because peace is found in Jesus Christ. Peace is found in the Lord's church. The peace is in God's Word. The peace that we look for is found in prayer. The peace is in serving Him. Everybody here, both young and old, male and female, we all have appetites, and we all understand appetites, and we all have longings. Your physical body wants something, and you reach out and you take it. Let me explain. We then turn around and we do that spiritually, and we look to fulfill those appetites. And so many times we look in the wrong places. You need not look anymore. The real fulfiller of your appetite is the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing that you're truly looking for can be found in God and what God makes available to a Christian. let me take this idea of our longings, our appetites, and let me apply it. David longed for God. David in the Bible longed for God. Listen to this verse and listen for the word longed. In other words, he had an appetite for this. Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2, it says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." You understand, David said, "I long for God." Now, folks, the psalmist said his soul longed for God. Let me explain. You need God more than you need air. You need God more than you need water. You need God more than you need food. You as a married person need God more than you need intimacy with your spouse. Do you long to be with Him? Do you long for your time in prayer? Do you long for a time in the Bible with God? Do you long for the fullness of His Spirit? Do you long for His presence in your life? Do you long for His influence in your life? Do you long for His blessing upon your life? Do you long to be a blessing to Him? Do you long to please Him? Look, David said, "I long for that. That is my passion. That's what I seek after. That's what I chase after." And let me tell you all something. Everybody in here is chasing after something. You say, "I want peace. I want happiness. I want joy. I want fulfillment. I'm going to chase it here. I'm going to chase it there. I'm going to chase it over here. I'm going to find it." You don't have to look any further. You found it in God. Just long for God. Long for the Bible. Long for prayer. Long for God's blessing in your life. Long for the power of God in your life. But your problem is you're looking in the wrong places. I'm tired of sad Christians. Why are you so sad? You've been spending way too much time looking for God in all the wrong places. David longed. We had a dog. It belonged to my wife. Our dog's name was Pupcake. Pupcake was a beagle, and Pupcake loved Mrs. Owens and liked me. Pupcake, I had a routine. I work and work and work and work. And when we owned a house in the mountains, I'd get done on a Saturday and I needed to unwind. You say, why? So I didn't shoot my church members on Sunday. So I'd say every Saturday night, I'd get the four-wheeler. Mrs. Owens and I, we'd climb on the four-wheeler and we'd take off through the mountains. And I can remember one day, Pupcake. Now, Pupcake wasn't supposed to go with us, so we'd usually let Pupcake stay in the house because Pupcake wanted to ride the four-wheeler too. And I remember one day we took off on that four-wheeler and the dog was out. So there's Pupcake. We're trucking up the road, and You know, we're going 40 miles an hour and Pupcake's behind us and those big floppy ears. You know, she's just popping along there and you can see her tongue. I think she's going to trip over that thing if it gets any longer. And when Pupcake's right behind us, about to catch us, I don't know what Pupcake's thinking. I do think Pupcake would have preferred to have been on the four-wheeler instead of running behind us. And I wasn't going to go all the way back and take Pupcake back, and it was going to be quite a long ride. But old Pupcake, boy, she's just trucking along, trying to keep up and trying to keep up and trying to keep up and trying to keep up. And if we'd slow down, she'd slow down. But I'll never forget, we probably rode 5, 6, 7, 8 miles, and there's old Pupcake. Finally, we got home, and there's a creek that ran behind our house. And I watched Pupcake. She ran past the house and down to the creek. And she was down there going, and I'm thinking, back down there, dog. We got to have some water, you know, to feed the rest of the universe. I mean, she was thirsty. She was lapping that water, and Mrs. Owens was right beside her. No, I'm sorry. No, she wasn't. In the doghouse we go. But boy, Pupcake was down at that water, and she was a-lapping that water. I got to reading in Psalm chapter 42, verse number 1. The Bible says that the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. There the Bible's talking about a deer that had been on the run, and it finally got to some water, and it was lapping it up. And then I got to thinking about my dog and how I watched that dog go after that water because she was so thirsty. And the Bible says here, though, that David said that is how my soul panteth after God. And I'm not trying to be uncouth, but if God were the water, everybody here ought to be lapping it up. Let me tell you what you're missing. You try to get strength by watching Dr. Phil. You try to get your strength by watching some wacko on television or listen to some radio program. Let me tell you, you better get yourself to the God of the universe and you better lap up the water of the God of the universe and let Him fulfill the passion in your life. You chase money, you chase all sorts of things, and it's not working. It's not working. You don't have satisfaction. You say, well, it's the physical relationship. And I'll remind you, teenagers, you're never to have a physical relationship with anybody that you're not married to. But I will promise you this, you can run and you can chase every whore in town and you can live like a bunch of whoremongering animals all you want and you're never going to find the satisfaction that you're looking for because the greatest satisfaction in the world comes from the purity of Jesus Christ. David said, I longed for God. The psalmist, like Pupcake, was running through life and he was thirsty. For what? For God. Hey, unsaved person, what you long for, what you really need, you need a dose of God. That's what you need. Hey, backslidden Christian, what you're seeking is found in God. But only that. David longed for the house of God. Listen for the word longed. In Psalm 84:2 it says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh crieth out for the living God. Listen, if your longing for God will be fulfilled, it will be fulfilled somewhere around the house of God. That's God's way. We don't over exalt this building. This building is a church house. And we understand that. But this is the place where God told us to come and meet, and that He would meet here with us. David said, he said, I long for the courts of the Lord. It's talking about the church. If you're saved right now, and you're right with God, you will long to be in church. There's an attitude to this thing. That it's very, very clear. We ought to want to be in church. There are people, I mean, under the sound of my voice, you work at figuring out ways not to have to show up at church. You work at it. You look for excuses. And I don't see how you can come up with so many. How can you be gone from church so much? Are there that many problems in your life? You ought to long for the house of God. There's an attitude that develops. In our house, It was always, we get to go to church. It was never, we have to go. We have to go. Parents, rear your kids in church. You're not smart enough to do it any other way. You will destroy your children by keeping them out of church. You say, but I got all these reasons why. Talk to God. God won't allow it. God will tell you to get yourself in church and eliminate all the excuses. You should long, hey, you know what? You should long to see that big sign out front. You should long to pull in the parking lot and see Jim and Jay, even though they're ugly. You should long to see Jim and Jay out front. Those are parking lot attendants. And you know what? You should long to see Brother Robert right back there at the back door. And I'm glad he's back this week. He's been pretty sick. Long to see that. Long to see the parking lot. Long to, hey, you should long to see the full parking lot. Sorry about that. But I'd rather have a full parking lot than an empty parking lot any day of the week. Long. Hey, long, and moms, you'll understand, long to put your child in the nursery, and you're saying, no problem, preacher. No problem. I'd come to church if I didn't want to. Just get rid of the kids for a little while. I understand. But we ought to long. Hey, we ought to long for Sunday school, and hey, long to hear Rachel play that prelude. You know what? When Rachel sits down to play that prelude, it means something's about to happen. And there's that little electricity. You know, we play the music, and we play a little music that's recorded, but all of a sudden, at 10 minutes till the hour, the pianist sits down there, and it's live. And in my heart, I say, you know what? We're getting ready to launch this rocket ship, baby. Something's about to happen. Hey, something's about to go on. The God of the universe is about to reach down into my church and let everybody know there's still a God and God's still alive and God still works in this day. You ought to long for it. You ought to long for the presence of God and long for the church and where God comes to meet. Hey, you ought to long to see that choir start marching in. They start marching in. They fill up one line in the platform, then another, and now we've got them bleeding out, and they're just all over the place, like chocolate syrup on my Sunday. Long to see that choir. Long to hear the choir sing that opener. Long to sing the first congregational song. Hey, the longing to hear the visitors introduced. Hey, a longing for the offering time to come. And you say, you long for the offering? You might not long for it like I do, but you ought to long for it. You say, why? Because the Bible teaches you're to bring to the storehouse in the way that God has prospered you and give back to God at the beginning of the week. You know what you're doing? You long for the chance to put some money in the plate and say, God, you gave it all to me, and I'm so grateful. I've been blessed. I've got a house. I've got a car. I've got plenty of food. I've got what I need, and I long to give back to you. You got to long. You long to hear that special music sung. You long to hear that sermon. Hey, you even long for the altar call, not because you say, all right, hey, we're having the altar call. We're almost out of here. No, because we get to see what God may have accomplished during the preaching time of the sermon. We ought to long for it. We ought to long for the presence of God in our life and long for the church house. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. We're leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Hey, I long for Sunday school and long for morning church on Sunday and long for Sunday night church and I long for Wednesday night church. I'll never forget the very first church that I attended. A pastor had gone and started a church, and his house had a two-car garage, and he started his church in that two-car garage. And in all honesty, he parked his cars in the garage at non-church times, and he backed his cars out during church times. We had an old, beat-up, upright piano that probably weighed about 8 million pounds. It took four men, a burly bearded woman, to move that thing. We had these old rickety steel chairs. Not a one of them was the same color. I mean, they're every color under the sun, and they had little tattoos on the bottom of them where they'd been, you know, at different church, and put their name on the bottom, and we had them from everywhere. I mean, you looked at, we had them from the bar and grill and every place. We had all these beat up chairs, and then when you would pull in. When they first started the church, you parked and the grass would get wet and your car would sink. So we finally got enough money to gravel the parking lot. But the cheapest gravel were these chunks of gravel about the size of a boulder. You know, they're about 4 inches across, and I had a big old load of that brought in. The ladies complained every single Sunday. They would park their car, they'd get out, and their heels would get all scarred and scraped up. But we now had what we considered a paved parking lot. And from Fred Flintstone style pavement, but it was okay. I remember our songbooks. There were about 5 different colors, and the primary color was duct tape. I mean, pages of covers was falling off of them, and every once in a while you'd totally lose a back cover, but you'd have another cover from something else, and you taped a blue one onto a green one just so you just had it all together. But I got to tell you, none of that mattered. I longed to be in church. As a kid, there's something missing in my life when I was growing up. I didn't know God. I didn't know the Savior. I didn't go to church. And I got saved and I went to this little church. And I would show up on Sunday morning and I would say, it is so different. This is so fulfilling. I needed this. Boy, on Sunday morning, you didn't have to drag me out of bed. I was up and ready to roll. I wanted to be there. And some of you parents ought to thank God your kids are that way now. Because some of you, your parents say, we're going to church. They're up. They're ready to go. When we leaving? When we leaving, Mom? When we leaving? When we going to church, Dad? To the point that they wear you down. Thank God for some of you kids. Because if it were not for the kids, there would be parents that would have stayed home and tried to take care of their conscience at home. You can thank God that some of your kids long for church. By the way, you're God's child. And you ought to be longing for it like your kids do. And I've never, Brother Andrews, I've never lost that. I long it. I still long for that. I long to be here 3 times a week. I long to try to make you laugh. I do. I know some of you cry a lot of tears. And I long for us to come in here and you to laugh and say, this is delightful. I long to watch you learn. I long to hear you sing. I long for the Holy Spirit of God to come and for us all to know when He's here. I long for that. I long to hear the Edwards family get up and sing. I long for the altar call and for me not to be able to pronounce the names of the kids and for them to correct me in church. I long for the times when we get to baptize. What do you long for, Christian? We should long for God. We should long for church. Not only that, David, he had a passion. And remember the scripture, he said, oh, that I might have my request. Oh, that God would grant me the thing that I long for. David also longed for the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse number 20, it says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto the judgments, unto thy judgments at all times. Those judgments are God's word. God say, I long for the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 40, David said, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. That word precepts there is talking about the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 131, David said, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. David longed for God's presence. David longed for God's house. And David longed for the Word of God. Folks, this is the bread of life. Yesterday, we went by Piggly Wiggly, and I got my wife and I a couple pork chops. And the lady said, you want cornbread? I thought, well, who wouldn't? What a stupid question to ask. Who turns down cornbread with your pork chop?
I'd take that off the agenda here, lady. You need to stop saying that. People are going to think you're a fool. Nothing like bread. I don't know when or how they come up with this idea. You know, they put restaurants now right with your gas station. And the one that gets me the most is Subway. There's nothing like smelling bread. I mean, you're pumping gas and smelling bread. The bread smells so much better than the gas. I could have just ate, and I want to go in and get, I want some of that oat bread or wheat bread. Or I don't care what kind of bread. Just give me a chunk of bread, lady, while I'm pumping gas out here. It smells so good. You know what the Bible is? It's a bread of life. And David said, I long for that. I long for the Word of God. But here's the problem. You long to read your text. There are people in here, you haven't read your Bible all week. But you read every text. Some more than once. Some you erased and you freaked out because you didn't know what it said, but you sure missed a lot by not reading your Bible this week, but it didn't bother you that much. You long to get to your email, and you long to find out what's being tweeted. You long for your Facebook, but what you really need to do is get your face back in the book that God wrote. You ought to long for it. You ought to long for the Word of God. You ought to long for every book of the Old Testament and every book in the New Testament. You should long for the Word of God. You should, hey, do you know something, folks? You should long for memorizing some Scripture. In so many of our children's clubs, you go to King's Kids, you go to Flyers Club, we're teaching the kids to memorize Scripture. Can I tell you all something? Scripture memorization is not just for little kids. There's some of you, if you don't start getting some Scripture deep in your heart and in your soul, you're going to mess up your life royal to the point that you will destroy parts of your life that will never be rebuilt because you don't have an interest in the Word of God. We should long for it. We should have a passion. We should have an appetite for it. You should long to live in God's Word and long to sing God's Word and long to read God's Word and long to promote God's Word to others. You should long for it. And I'll tell you this also. You ought to long to hear it preached. You ought to long for it. You ought to say, you know what? I can't wait to get to church so I can hear the preaching of the Word of God. I can't wait to hear someone preach about salvation. I can't wait for someone to preach about heaven and preach about hell and preach about love and preach about the Holy Spirit. We ought to long for it. There are people in here, you long for the shows you watch on television more than you long for the preaching of the Word of God. And no wonder you are such a joke as a Christian. You're a joke. Why? Because your passion is for something other than God, other than God's house, and other than God's Word. You should long to learn God's Word. Hey, I don't know about all of you, but those of you that teach and you teach Sunday school and you teach in ministries around here, you ought to have a passion and a longing to teach your class. Give me some Sunday school teachers that are passionate about teaching the Word of God. Give me those teachers, give me those ministry leaders that long to get up and preach and teach and help people. Those of you that are numb, that don't care, your students are bored stiff with you, and it's your fault. It's not their fault. It's your fault. Why? You're not passionate about the Word of God. You heard the story. There's a fellow sleeping in the congregation, and pastor tried to wake him up, and the guy got to snoring. He was snoring in the congregation. And the pastor said to the guy beside the snorer, he said, hey, buddy, would you please wake him up? And the guy beside him said, you wake him up. You put him to sleep. Hey, we ought to long for the Word of God, long for the preaching of the Word of God. You should long for nothing more than you long for God. You long for His house. You long for His Word. Some of you long to watch your football games. There are people in here, you're more faithful to watch your football games than you are to the house of the Lord. Tells you what you love the most, doesn't it? You long to read that romance novel. You long to find out what's happening at the stock market. There are people in here, you're addicted to pornography. You long for it above your longing for the Word of God. Everybody has appetites. What do you do with your appetite? The Scripture said, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." What are you passionate about? What is it that you long for? David longed for God. David longed for the house of God. David longed for the Word of God. And not only that, I see that David longed to help people. He longed to help people. Listen to this verse. It's found in 2 Samuel 13:39. The Bible says, "And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon." Here's what happened. David longed for a meeting with Absalom. Absalom had sinned and hurt David. Absalom had hurt himself and a lot of other people, but David longed to have a meeting with Absalom so that there could be a reconciliation that took place. In other words, David said, "Deep in my heart, I long to reach out and help people. I want to help people." And let me tell you why. Everybody in here, you ought to knock it off, straighten up your life, and live right. You say, why? Because you could help people that way. The problem is we're so busy helping you, it makes our heads spin. You ought to be helping somebody else. You ought to be making a difference in somebody else's life. But you're so busy needing help 24/7 because of the screwball Christian life that you live, you can't help anybody else. Every teenager in here, you ought to live right so someday you could help somebody. Yes. You're either the one being helped or you're the helper. Which are you? Whose life are you going to make a difference in? Or are you so self-centered, caught into you, and so messed up that it's all about you? You know, that's enough cause to make you want to straighten up and fly right. You can help somebody. You could make a difference in somebody's life. And David longed to help people. David longed to help the fallen Absalom. Should not we all in our soul be wanting to restore the brethren? Let's help the lost. I was so tickled. Yesterday afternoon, my phone buzzed, and I looked down, and someone said, "Just had someone get saved." I thought, isn't that sweet? A couple minutes later, my daughter Sabrina, I got a text from her, and it said, "Dad just had a 150-year-old woman or something like that saved." I thought, isn't that sweet? Next thing you know, I get this other text and just had somebody get saved. First thing that happened this morning, first thing, Elise was waiting for me in the hallway right out here. Elise said, "Hey, preacher, don't forget we're going to ask some people to pray for that lady with cancer." I thought, wow. Whew. Longing to help people. Folks, God saved you to use you. He saved you to use you. There are people in here, you could be used of God, but you have yourself so goofed up. You ought to want to be used of God. Some of you used to have the passion to be used of God. You don't anymore. Your life's just all about you and gathering all the toys and everything that you can. And you're looking for peace, but let me tell you, you're going to find it in God. That's where it's at. Let's long. Hey, we should long to help people. A long, long time ago, I went to a funeral. And I'm going to be honest with you. I went to that funeral and I needed something from that preacher at that funeral. And Brother Nofsinger, I got to be honest, I didn't get a lick of it. He got up and read some scripture and I couldn't figure out what it had to do with anything. He said a few things. I walked away almost more depressed than when I went in. You know what I decided, Brother Young? If I ever do a funeral, it will not be that way. It will not be that way. I will go to funerals and I will help people at funerals. I will go there and we will have hope. And we will feel like we accomplished something. Folks, but that's how it ought to be. That's how it ought to be. It ought to be in our lives that we long to help people. I long to go, and when I visit the hospital, I want to help people. I long to help the hurting. Hey, those of you that have issues in life and you're going through battles in life and you're facing an uphill battle, let me tell you something. Your pastor longs to help you with it. I long to help you get through it. I long to help you be strong. I long to see you grow in the Lord. I long to see you get victory. Hey, there's some of you, you've heard me say this, and nobody will know who I'm talking to. But you stumbled into this church and you were a mess and a royal mess and you knew it. And I had a meeting with you and I said, you know what? I think we can do this. I think you can serve God. I think you can overcome. I think you can have victory. And you looked at me and you said, oh, Pastor, I don't think you know me. I don't know that that's going to be true. And I said, someday you're going to be a Sunday school teacher. And someday you're going to have victory. And someday you're going to sing in the choir. And you know what? There are some of you. You're that Sunday school teacher today. And you sing in that choir today. And you have that duty here in the church. Why? Because somebody longed to help other people and longed to make a difference in somebody's life. Hey, God did not birth you into this life. And it's not all about you. It's all about Him and others. And the truth is, Christianity should be a workforce that's reaching out to the ones that don't have God and helping them. What do you long for? I'm almost finished, but let me make another application. God can satisfy the longing in your soul. In Psalm 107, verse number 9, it says this, "For He satisfieth the longing soul." It's a terrible feeling to long for something and not to have fulfillment for that longing. But when you long for God, He will fill your need. See, God's not a void creator. God is a void filler. He is the fulfillment of that for which you long. If I could go to everybody in this building, and we could be honest about what you've been chasing, what you're looking for, and all the places you're looking for it, I will promise you, the reason you're not finding it is because you're not chasing after God. You're not chasing after the church. You're not chasing after the Word of God. You're not chasing after being used of God to help people. Somewhere in your lack of fulfillment, you're chasing the wrong things. And you know something? They don't even have to be wicked, vile, nasty things. They're just the wrong things. You know, there are some pills you could take that would not hurt you, but they will not help you. They call it a placebo. We can give you a sugar pill. Won't hurt you, but won't help you. Can I tell you what you need? You need to chase after the right things. Salvation can settle some of your fears if you have fears. Hey, backslidden church member, Jesus can satisfy your longings. Hey, wayward husband or wife, Jesus can satisfy your longings. Hey, rebellious teenager, flaunting your rebellion to others, Jesus is what you really need. If you're looking for some satisfaction, you're not going to find it in all those other things that we've talked about in this sermon. You'll find it in God, His church, His Word, and His purpose for the Christian life, which is helping and making a difference in other people's lives. If you're lost, you ought to get saved. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 174. I have longed for thy salvation. If you're unsaved, that which you seek concerning eternity is found in Jesus Christ. Let me make this real simple. There's a place called heaven. There's a place called hell. They're real. You say, I don't believe in them. You will believe. You will believe. God's not changing reality because of your lack of faith. There's a place called heaven. There's a place called hell. The difference is Jesus Christ in the two. If you realize you're a sinner, there's a penalty for your sin. That's death in hell for all eternity. And that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. If you'll turn to Him and say, forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and be my Savior, Jesus Christ will move into your heart. He'll save you and take you to heaven someday when you die. Let me promise you, that right there is the beginning of all satisfaction for anyone's life. It's the beginning. Getting the God of the universe living inside you in the person of Jesus Christ. It begins to take care of all longings. Yes, then, more and more as He moves through the life, you're going to find more and more satisfaction, and you have to chase less and less of what's in the world. The more you're filled with God, the less you'll be filled with the world, the less you'll be filled with your flesh. If you're not saved, I recommend to you salvation. I'm going to read the verse. We're going to have an altar call. Job 6:8. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. For what do you long?
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question will be to those that are not saved. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? If you say, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, I don't know that I'm saved. Pastor, pray for me. If I died today, I do not know I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I don't know that I'm saved. I've seen hands. Anyone else, you say, I don't know for a fact I'm saved. You may put your hand down. Who here? Don't lie in church. We don't play church around here. You might go some places where it's just a big game. This isn't a game. This is very serious to us. And don't lie in church. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? You'd say, I know it. I'm sure of it. If I died today, I know I'd go to heaven. I'm not going to lie in church. I'm not going to lie to you, Pastor. I know I'm saved. Could you raise your hand and let God see it? You may put your hands down. If you couldn't raise your hand, thank you for being honest. You need to get born again if you're not saved. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Christian, for what do you long? Honestly, for what do you long? What is it you seek? If you're not finding satisfaction, maybe it's time for you to really start seeking it in the right place. In God, in church, in the Word of God, and in helping others. That's what David longed for. That's where David found true satisfaction. What Christian here would say, Pastor, God has reached down from heaven and squeezed my heart today. He has spoken to me in this sermon. Would you let God see your hand? And you may put those hands down. We're going to have an altar call. In a second, the pianist will begin to play. In a moment, we're going to stand. When that happens, if you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you are a Christian, you say, I've got these longings. I've got to get some of them filled. Maybe you need to come to this altar and get some things straightened out about your relationship with God, your relationship with the church, your relationship with the Word of God, your relationship with helping others instead of it being all about you. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Do you need to come and pray, Christian? Wouldn't it be something if you were panting after God like Pupcake panted after that water? There's some teenagers in our church. You've wandered away from God. You need to get right with Him. You need to get right with Him. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing I long for. If you need the altar, you come. Take your time at the altar. You take what time you need. I wish there were Christians that long for the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. They don't seem to. I wish there were Christians who were trying to figure out a way to get in instead of trying to figure out a way to get out. You don't get close to God by running from Him. You don't get close to God by avoiding His church. You can think you're fooling everybody in the world, and you're not. You can't be close to God and not come to church. God wrote the book that puts a premium on church attendance. That's all there is to it. Looking for joy, we're looking for peace, we're looking for satisfaction, we're looking for security. It can all be found in God, His house, His Word, and His purpose for your life. This is the last time through the song, and in a moment we'll conclude the altar call.